In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Nicodemus, privately in the night, a woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, a man born blind who sees. Now Martha and her sister Mary, their brother Lazarus, and Jesus' own disciples. Since the second Sunday in Lent, these have been our focus. We've heard Jesus' proclamation that just as the bronze serpent had been lifted up in the wilderness, so also the Son of Man would be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. We've heard Jesus promise the gift of living water and identify himself as the Messiah, he who is called Christ. We've heard him say, "I am the light of the world," and have seen him give sight that the works of God might be seen. In all of these events, in the records of these interactions with Jesus, we have seen people who came to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. People who, believing, have life in his name. Jesus' testimony about himself and his work reaches something of a culmination in today's gospel. Last week, we heard Jesus explain that the man had been born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. He says a similar sort of thing today regarding Lazarus and his illness. This illness is not to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Neither the blind man's blindness nor the sickness of Lazarus were an end in themselves. They would serve a greater purpose. In them, the works of God would be displayed. God would be glorified. This purpose, that God might be glorified, helps explain some of the seemingly curious things Jesus says and does in today's gospel. As the account begins, John records, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." That doesn't seem to follow, does it? He loved them, so he stayed away? Except that Jesus waiting would bring about the glory of God. His not being there to heal Lazarus would lead to Jesus performing a more powerful, more convincing sign, would reveal more clearly than ever who he was and why he had come. The same sort of explanation applies to Jesus' words to his disciples. "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." So that you may believe. Lazarus' death and the subsequent events would result in stronger faith and more complete trust in Jesus on the part of his disciples. John gives us a bit of insight into what they were thinking at this point. Jesus had been prophesying that he would suffer many things in Jerusalem and be killed, and on the third day rise. And his disciples were believing him, at least about his death. "Rabbi," they asked him, "the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" And when it's clear that he was determined to do so, Thomas loyally says, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Clearly, the disciples need to see the powerful sign Jesus is about to perform in order to help make sense of the things he had been teaching them. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, Martha is the first to greet him. Immediately she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Some have heard a mild rebuke in this, but I'm not so sure, since these are also the very first words out of Mary's mouth when she greets Jesus. I think it's probably what the sisters have been saying to one another since their brother had died. If only Jesus had been here. If only he had been here, things wouldn't have turned out this way. They knew what Jesus had done for Peter's mother-in-law and so many others since. Their words reveal their faith that they believe Jesus could have, and not only could have, but would have healed their brother if only he had been there. "Even now, though," Martha continued, "even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Even death was not beyond God's power to reverse. And Martha trusted that God would listen to Jesus." Of course, she was missing one thing here. That is that Jesus is divine. He doesn't need to pray, "God, please restore life to Lazarus." At his own word, "Lazarus, come out," it is done. Jesus explains this to Martha in the memorable words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die forever." Do you believe this? There's not a better answer than Martha's. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." This is the truth. Jesus is the Christ, God's own Son, who came into the world in order to defeat death and bring life and immortality to light. In him, sin and death and every illness have met their match. He is the resurrection and the life. He has the last word, "Arise." And all who trust in him have eternal life. The grave cannot hold them dead. When the by now sizable group had arrived at the cave where Lazarus' body had been laid, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Ever practical Martha protested, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus' response again points to what he had said would result from the sickness of Lazarus. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then he gave glory to his Father by his prayer, helping the people who were standing there to recognize that he had come from God. Finally, with a word of God, he restored to life Lazarus. The word of God said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus walked out of the tomb alive. Is this the glory of God of which Jesus had spoken? The glory that would be the ultimate result of the illness and death of Lazarus? No, not fully, at least. We hear of that in what comes next. This great sign which identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, was not recognized by everyone. Many of the Jews, John writes, believed. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And what did they do? They complained about the signs Jesus had been doing. Complained that if he kept it up, the whole world was going to follow him. Jesus performed the signs to point out who he was and why he had come so that the people would believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and believing would have life in his name. But some refused to believe, wouldn't be persuaded even though someone had risen from the dead. Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, had the answer. It is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. And in this way, the raising up of Lazarus would result in the glory of God, in Jesus being glorified. Caiaphas didn't understand what he was saying, not the full truth of it. He spoke from a merely earthly perspective. But God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. There is a direct causal connection between the raising of Lazarus and Jesus' own glorious death by crucifixion less than a month later. Glorious? Indeed. For when the Son of Man was lifted up, he would draw all people to himself, would gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Jesus' glory is to be the Savior of the world. And that glory is most fully revealed as he hangs there on the cross, the Lamb of God, bearing away the sin of the world, the divine Son of the Father giving his life for his enemies, the willing Savior loving to the end sinners in rebellion against him. He died to bear away your sin, to reconcile you to God, to forgive your rebellion. Martha and Mary and Lazarus and the disciples and many of the Jews who had come out to grieve with the sisters saw the sign Jesus had done and believed in him. Their faith was strengthened, and they were better prepared for his death and resurrection, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. A death and resurrection he would explain to them from the scriptures when he had risen. Many others, though, saw that same sign and rejected Jesus. They refused to believe. Thus they remained in their sin, and unless they later came to repentance, will die forever. This is a sobering truth, that you and I have the awesome ability to resist the Lord's call, to hear but not to respond, to be shown, but to refuse to see. God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, to come to a knowledge of his Son Jesus, crucified for the sin of all, that no one need perish, but that all might have eternal life. So then repent and trust in him. Enthroned on the cross at Calvary, because he raised Lazarus from the dead, it is Jesus' glory to save you, to have mercy on you, a sinner. And he has done it. His saving work is accomplished. Your sins are forgiven. Your salvation has been purchased with his blood. It is finished, completed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.